ACE Podcast.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the Not Alone Podcast. Today is our first ever Jason special.
Oh yeah, fresh right out of the kitchen. Here we go, and I'm excited about this today.
He's very excited.
This episode, I really wanted to do the Chupacabra. And Sam was a little hesitant, not the most supportive.
Okay. I've said from the beginning of this show, because I asked Jason, I said, you know, do you have any topics that you want to cover or anything like that? And he said the Chupacabra, and I said, no, I'm not going to do that, because in my mind, every instance of the Chupacabra that I've ever seen is just a dog with mange. And so I told him.
And I agree with that for every account in the U.S.
In the U.S., yes. I told him that if he wants to do a Chupacabra episode, he has to do all the research, and I would flesh it out a little bit at the end, but I'm not going to waste my time there. So he's doing the research. Okay.
They have to believe in me. Someone has to support me.
I believe in you. Okay. But when I do the research, I create a little outline. It says like episode 6 outline, the Black Knight Satellite. He sends me his outline.
Talking points.
And it says Chupacabra debate. So
we gotta be.
I guess that's what he wants out
you
of
were,
this.
You but. Were aggressive about it being a mangy dog. Or
that's
coyote.
Fair. That's
and
true.
I completely agree with that in 99% of the cases. I think that anything that involves a weird livestock or animal death, the Chupacabra gets automatically associated with it.
It is.
And I don't think that's fair for what actually took place.
And I don't think that's fair to the Chupacabra.
22 years ago in Puerto Rico, and has spread from there into Central and South America. Once we hit the U.S., yes, I totally think that most of them, like 99.999999% of them, like literally, there might be one thing out there that could have been it, but everything else has absolutely been a dog or a coyote or some sort of hybrid.
Yeah.
That has been plagued with mange, which is, I mean, if you've seen pictures of severe mange,
it's disgusting. It's gross.
It is super unfortunate.
It is. And
it involves,
it's sad to see.
Essentially, mites that bury into the dog skin.
Mm-hmm.
And then if infection doesn't occur from that at first, the dogs usually start to scratch at it, mm-hmm. which cause them to possibly get infections that way too. Tons of hair loss.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
thickening
sad.
Of the skin, and just all around, just awful,
grody.
awful to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, animals that are infected with these mites and with mange in general, they are not in the best health conditions.
No.
So that could lead to a lot of reasons why they would do something, as in like attacking chickens.
Yeah. Or goats.
Or goats are bigger creatures. A lot of the U.S. ones that I found were still smaller things.
That's
like chickens
true.
and
That's
smaller
true.
Animals.
In Texas and Arizona and
yeah.
New Mexico.
Where it's been, yeah, mostly that kind of ranch area. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think it's just the fact that they've survived with mange so long that they have become, they've looked like a totally different creature.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where a lot of misinterpretation and
yep.
the misjudgment and the association
with the Chupacabra
being as the scapegoat,
yep,
for lack of a better term, because we're going to be talking
that
about
is a lack of a better term.
A lot
scapegoat.
Of goats.
Well, I'll tell you what. So you guys are going to notice a marked difference. Usually I'm the one who kind of creates the narrative, and then Jason responds, and we both discuss. I'm going to be sitting here. I'll be here. You may not hear me for a little bit, but I'm going to be here.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to let Jason take us through it. His goal for the next however long this episode is to get me to believe that the Chupacabra is anything more than a dog with mange. So without further ado.
I'm just going to try to make you. I'm just going to try to convince you that things are a little weird about some of these instances.
All right. Well, without further ado,
here we go.
The Chupacabra. All Take right. it away, Jason.
So for me, the Chupacabra became kind of the first urban legend that I really heard of as a kid. And I thought it was super cool. Of course I did. I mean, at the time, I was like 2, and of course in 95. So I didn't really catch wind of it until like the late 90s.
Oh, I thought you meant that you first heard of it when you were 2.
No.
And I was like, that.
I mean, maybe. It might have been on the television.
Oh,
Chupacabra attacks, and I could have just been there staring away. Because, I mean, come on, TV is great.
It would explain
anyway,
a lot.
Just maybe a couple things. Or everything. Anyway, so as a young kid, the Chupacabra became my first real urban legend that I got into and I thought was super cool. Mm-hmm. Mainly because this is a weird creature that feeds on blood. That's just cool all around. I don't know if I thought it was just like a cool gargoyle thing or maybe a Digimon or, you know, kid stuff. Yeah. And since then, it's kind of sparked the whole like, oh, cryptozoology would be really
right.
cool thing to kind of talk about.
I'd like to point out, because I had a similar introduction. I learned about the Chupacabra when I was a kid, and I was fascinated with it. I remember the first time I ever saw like a picture of an alleged Chupacabra, not a mangy dog, but like some photoshopped skull and stuff. I was probably like 10, and it changed my life.
It was the coolest thing ever, wasn't it?
But I'd like to point out that I figured, okay, just like this morning and last night, I was like, okay, I'm going to do a little bit of research on it just to brush up on my knowledge. One of the sites that I found that actually had one of the most extensive lists on and articles on the Chupacabra was a website called Kids World. So
apparently
kids all over the world just love the Chupacabra.
And I don't blame them.
No.
It's super cool.
Do you remember that episode of the Jackie Chan Adventures with the Chupacabra? And
what?
The Chupacabra is like a luchador?
No.
It's amazing.
That sounds incredible.
It was incredible.
I know what I'm doing after this today. So because of that, and because of kind of the widespread media using it as a scapegoat for almost any kind of weird animal mutilations, mm-hmm. The internet is filled with a ton of different stories, not a ton of which that I really wanted to dig into. A lot of them were mainly US-based where, yeah, it can totally be a coyote.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tough to kind of go back to 95 and find actual names of people that did any of the work. Go for it.
Well, and the other hard thing to do with the research is that because we're focusing on Puerto Rico in 1995, all of the accounts that we're going to read are, to us, secondhand accounts, because unfortunately we don't speak Spanish. And that's all
right.
of the newspaper articles and everything are in a foreign language. And
Spanish is not quite more my forte. I mean, I can order a taco truck, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's fair. So
we're also talking about fairly rural and mm-hmm. not the richest of areas
mm-hmm.
in South and Central America. So, I mean, it was tough to get photographs, to get really any kind of major proof or evidence. So let's just go ahead and jump into it.
All right, let's do it.
And I'm getting a weird phone call. I apologize.
Who's calling you?
I don't know. It's a number from Stockton, California. Let's go ahead and hang that up.
No, answer it. Answer it on the air. Maybe it's a caller. Yes, hello.
How did you get
this
number?
Is this the Chupacabra?
Oh, yeah. We're diving deep.
I'll edit that out.
Please don't. That's wonderful.
Okay.
I think it was great. So, anyway, let's go to Puerto Rico in 1995, where strange mutilations of livestock began to occur in March. What really stood out for me on this one is that it wasn't one or two animals. We would have a couple dozen dropping at a time, and they spanned from, we had cattle to goats to chickens. Those were kind of the primary targets, I guess, for the mutilations. And so the weird thing about the mutilations is that there'd be 2 to possibly 3 puncture wounds, and they're not high up on the neck. Usually they're somewhere at the base,
okay.
so kind of collarbone region, or in the chest, The chest was a big one for a lot of the chickens. What gets a little bit weirder is the fact that pretty much all the bodies were drained of blood. So that's a bit strange.
That is weird. And that is one thing that, like, I will concede right from the start.
That's odd.
That's odd. A dog with mange does not have any sort of apparatus to drain a body of blood.
And I mean, my first thought is, well, did that animal just bleed out? Because that's a very easy possibility with wounds to the chest and the neck. And I was able to see some photos.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't necessarily the clearest, but blood tends to leave a residue, a stain. It will discolor the ground somewhere. I didn't see anything.
Yeah, and I also saw certain, I saw one that's just, like, haunting, and it was actually from 2010 of just lines.
Was it in
of
Argentina?
Goats.
I
think it was.
In Argentina have been happen again. So, it might be back for another feeding.
Oh, good. but yeah, just lines of goats.
Oh my
and
goodness, what if it's like...
Their throats, you could see, like, wounds on
dormant.
The throat and no blood around them. So we'll try to link to that in the show notes.
That's really, really odd.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that alone gets you thinking. That and the sheer quantity of deaths.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot of killing of livestock, which livestock was probably very, very important. I mean, not only is it their main source of income,
it's
probably.
Agricultural society.
But it is, yeah. It's a huge agricultural society. So when you have, essentially, your paycheck getting slaughtered on a daily basis, it becomes well documented by the media.
And it becomes personal.
Picked up. Yeah, and it does. It became a phenomenon for the next almost 3 years in Puerto Rico where on the day-to-day life, it was, oh, guess how many more were killed today?
Yeah.
In finding more and more bodies. So it became so incredibly impactful that searches were done to hunt it down because they're just having way too many mutilations. And that started in September.
Okay.
The weird thing about it is that...
September of...
95.
Yep, okay.
We're still in 95. So the weird thing about that is that apparently it was led up by Jose Soto, which was a mayor of a local town. And...
Canovanas.
I just could not pronounce it, so thank you.
I just faked it till I made it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yep.
So he was the one that kind of orchestrated the first large-scale search, which included actual police and also citizens. The strangest thing that kind of came up to him was that as soon as they started searching in an area where the attacks were occurring, the attacks would move elsewhere.
Which is extremely interesting because if you think about something that is just massacring chickens and goats, and if it's a wild animal and this and that, you don't think of it being conscious, really, having a cognitive awareness of the area around it. And that is, if it is an animal doing it, I mean, that is very strange. You know, another part of your research that really got me kind of thinking in the other direction was the vet. Carlos Sato.
Yeah, Carlos. He did actually a couple dozen necropsies. Autopsies.
I don't know what the difference between an autopsy and a necropsy is, but
neither do I. I have no clue. maybe period of death. No clue.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he did actually a couple dozen autopsies on the dead animals, and he found that pretty much all the bodies were drained, 90 to 100% of their blood. So very, very low blood count remaining in their bodies. That and in some of the smaller animals, like the chickens, through the puncture wounds, if they were punctured, again, into the chest area, bits of the heart and bits of the liver were also kind of torn out. Which is...
Torn out through...
the puncture wounds.
So
which
no other
makes you think like a suction, a really really powerful suction. And what where were you going with that thought?
A proboscis. That's all I was gonna
say. Yeah, kind of like a mosquito.
It's just there's nothing. I
suck stuff up.
Yeah, you know you do. You have a mosquito who sucks blood and stuff like that. There's no animal that I can think of that is going to be like large enough and have a powerful enough proboscis to take out actual pieces of chunks of flesh without opening the animal.
Yeah, really
and
pulling it
apart. Extracting it from there.
Yeah, like what you would see in like large cat and other large dog kills as well.
That's
the organs tend to get ripped apart into the cage pretty early on.
That's another one that I'm like,
yeah, it's weird, right?
Yeah.
He also found something else that was pretty weird. So rigor mortis normally sets in about 4 to 6 hours after death. The inspections that he did on the animals took place typically around 6 to 7 hours after the actual time of death that he stated was time of death. And rigor mortis also had not set in, which made him conclude that some sort of anticoagulant was possibly injected into the bloodstream as well to keep, of course, naturally happens quite a bit, so that the blood flow remains easy. But that could also be explaining why rigor mortis wasn't setting into these animals,
right,
which is also just plain weird.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about it, is that it's, you could, for some of these attacks, and I especially believe so for the main part of the Texan attacks, say it's a mangy coyote, Sam.
I feel like you're just like pandering to me whenever you say that.
Pretty much.
That's fine.
I want you to know.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
I hope so. That's kind of where I've been going with life.
But what I'm liking about this already is that, like so many of the other things we've covered on the show so far, you can explain 95% of it, but then there's that 5%
that's
just...
There's something else that's a bit strange.
Doesn't make sense, so I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, keep going.
You're doing great.
Absolutely
you're doing great.
Fine. Another kind of weird thing that tended to happen as far as tracking the mutilations is that they all started very, very near the
UK
National Forest in Puerto Rico, which is technically the only rainforest under a U.S. territory. So kind of in our sovereignty-esque. They ended up stemming from the National Forest and then started branching outward, which that brought up a lot of theories. And we're going to dive into some of them later, but some of the big ones that came out were some sort of weird animal, like some sort of weird bat, or possibly like a government experiment that came from the forest, got out something, and then started doing all these cattle and livestock mutilations. So that's where that started kind of stemming from, and this continued, again, for years.
Yeah.
So by the end of it, we had a couple hundred dead livestock bodies to kind of attribute to the chupacabra, and really not any kind of solid proof of its existence. We didn't have any photos of it. We have one real description, which has been kind of disregarded and disproven.
But it's a great description.
It's so... And I looked up the reason why, and the description is from Madeline Tolentino?
Tolentino.
You're way better at names than I am. Anyway, so Madeline did give probably one of the first eyewitness accounts of the chupacabra, and the way she described it was a creature about 3 to 4 feet tall, having large back legs, very similar to that of like a kangaroo. But it was hairless, and its skin seemed kind of scaly. It had spines running from the top of its head down its back, had short front arms, and very, very large eyes.
Terrible.
And fangs.
Terrible.
So the reason why her account, her eyewitness description of it has fallen to the side is because about 3 weeks before she claimed her description, she watched the movie Species, which I have never ever seen.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, so it was a sci-fi horror movie about an alien. Mm-hmm. And apparently her description was very, very similar to the alien Syl in that movie, which I did see pictures of that, and it's, for me, it's a bit of a stretch still.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I feel like in, for us here, I can't say for the general skeptical world, but for us here, I mean, that sounds like exactly what happened with Sergeant James Peniston in Rendlesham Forest. He went through the hypnotic regression, and he learned about the time travelers and this and that and all of that. And then they tried to say, well,
pop culture.
Yeah, he had watched that movie on TV, and that's why he thought that. And to me, not to...
It's an easy out.
It is an easy out, and it seems a little bit too much like... And of course, it's entirely possible that that's exactly it. But it seems a little too much like just dismissing and just being like, well, that's stupid, so it can't be true, and you must have taken it from this or that. I feel like we need to give, you know, Madeline her credit. Yeah, and just try our best to take her at her word.
Completely.
These people are experiencing something awful. I mean, it's ruining their livelihoods. I just don't see the reason why anyone would lie about it, you know, especially you would think that they'd want to give the most accurate description so that they can catch it, they can save their stuff, but that's just my opinion on that.
Totally, and that is completely fair, and I still kind of stick with it because for most of the accounts of the Chupacabra in Central and South America have described something very, very similar.
Similar, yeah.
Also, one thing that she notices and points out that it did not have visible ears. So it does not have like cartilage-based ears like you and I do, but it had ears similar to that of a reptile.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, which those were crazy. The reptile ears are really crazy because they use membranes instead of little hairs like we do.
Oh, really?
In order to pick up. Yeah, it's crazy cool. Anyway, so diving back into this, we also had mutilations start to pop up elsewhere. So we had some in Mexico, some that popped up in Bolivia, but another place that I like to focus on is Chile, because Chile did also have quite a few different ones that popped up. And what I like about it is that from what I found, there were quite a few people that actually had a little bit of a science background that looked into the actual mutilations as well. So as we go through that, one of the big ones, or one of the more interesting ones, and one that I like quite a bit, is one that actually happened on a school ground. So the school's pet llama was mutilated. Now, that just makes me sad, because llamas are adorable.
Poor kids.
But what that tells me is that possibly if this creature is a real creature, it is getting a bit more daring about where it's willing to feed. Llamas are still very, very big creatures.
Oh, yeah.
So
huge.
There's plenty of blood there for them to gorge on. And that's also the weird thing, too, is that as of right now, the only mammal that we totally know of that feeds off of blood is a vampire bat.
Yeah.
Pretty obvious.
They're adorable. Bats are so cute.
Totally. The interesting thing about vampire bats is, and this is something that I learned while researching this, is that they have to eat half their body weight in blood. And then their livers are essentially specifically designed to absorb the plasma of the blood much, much, much quicker. And then from there, they excrement most of it.
Yeah.
Before flying away and hanging out for essentially the rest of the night digesting their food. And that's the one thing that I have, it's kind of a double-edged sword there with the Chupacabra, because yes, we see these mass deaths, tons of livestock being killed, which makes a lot of sense for a large creature that feeds on blood. They have to, absolutely have to gorge on a large amount for it to even be like a fair like food source.
Yeah, to get the sustenance.
But I mean, we don't see Chupacabra pee everywhere.
No.
that's the other catch is that, you know, we don't find the excrements necessary that a large bat would have. And large bats kind of fall somewhere in the descriptions that we do get too. Some people think that it has wings and it kind of glides around, and it or it uses its large hind legs, again described similar to that of a kangaroo's, to do large leaps.
I've seen a few different things where it's like the chupacabra leapt over a tree and disappeared into the forest,
right? And that kind of leaping ties us back into the story of our poor llama. Hopefully it wasn't the emperor.
Cuzco.
Exactly. So anyway, the principal and apparently the science teacher actually took a look at the dead body and found that all its blood was drained. And then him and two other students saw the chupacabra in a tree outside the school grounds, and it leapt into the bushes before taking off. Now, the kids themselves, they're not... I mean, they looked pretty young. I would probably say, 11, 12, maybe. Yeah. And they are not completely sure what they saw, but they definitely saw something out of the ordinary. Yeah. It definitely was not a mangy dog.
Right.
And that body, and actually a couple other bodies, were also inspected by a local veterinarian from Ariel Cortez, which he found that besides for, of course, the fact that they were drained quite thin, that there was an anticoagulant around the puncture marks. So that led him to believe that possibly the saliva of a chupacabra had that anticoagulant kind of in it.
Yeah.
Kind of like that of like Vampire Komodo Dragon having it with the bacteria and poison to kill other things. The chupacabra is a big creature, though.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 feet-ish.
Oh, yeah.
That's a decent-sized animal. And that's kind of the other thing that throws me off is for something that big, feeding on so much livestock in such a small area, why wasn't there any commotion? You know?
How do you mean? Panic? Widespread fear? Panic?
Like, okay, so what I'm getting at is that if a wolf came in to the goats, I'm pretty darn sure those goats would make some noise.
That's true.
Same thing with chickens as well. If a fox gets into a chicken coop, there is feathers everywhere, and it is just crazy. There's not one or two that have been taken out and drained. So that's the other weird thing that pops up as well.
I have seen, and I'll try to find the source, but I have seen other accounts, not necessarily in Chile or even South America or Central America, where the chupacabra was supposedly a part of it. Like, it was a chupacabra even though it was far away. And in those areas, it was like the cows were going crazy, the sheep were going crazy.
So yeah, that's what I expected. From Puerto Rico and from Chile, we didn't really have those reports. Nothing that I really dug up and found. And for one, if that did occur, especially if we're dropping, a dozen goats that are dying at a time, that would cause commotion for the owners to come out and do something about it, probably. I mean, I would assume so.
You would think so, yeah.
Yeah. And that...
Again, it's their livelihood.
Yeah, exactly. And that is missing from the accounts, which is really weird. And then there have been other accounts that I think are a little out there.
Okay.
One of them actually stated that a woman was attacked by it.
Oh, okay.
And she got scratches on her back that healed miraculously quick. But the chupacabra telepathically told her that it wasn't going to kill her, it's a little discrediting. It's tough for me. Like, yeah, I want to totally believe in that, and I do want to believe something like that.
Yeah,
because we also have it's Joey Real, who, as a young boy in 1955, 40 years earlier, he stated that he actually saw the chupacabra coming out of his family's shed in their backyard. And
was it, really quick, was it the chupacabra like Madeline had described, or was
it?
Okay.
So, yes, it's not a mangy dog.
Man.
But back when he was a kid, he stated that the chupacabra wanted him, and he could tell, like, it wasn't actually, he wasn't talking to him, but he can tell that the Chupacabra wanted him to come back with him.
Ooh.
So, and it's like, don't, okay, so something kind of telepathic in a way makes some sense in order to keep the livestock under control from freaking out.
Okay.
And from some very, very kind of out there descriptions and out there encounters with the Chupacabra state something similar, like a calming to where they aren't going to get hurt, or, you know, a want, a desire that they feel that the Chupacabra has.
Okay.
And
well, and that does kind of go back in with what we touched on a little bit earlier where, you know, Jose... What was his name? Jose Soto?
Soto. Yes.
Every time that they started their investigation of a certain area...
It tended to move.
The creature would move.
Yeah.
Again, indicating that there's some sort of higher thought process going on.
It's smarter than than most animals, more likely than not. That being said, of course, most predatory creatures, especially solitary predatory creatures... travel very great distances.
Yes, yeah, they're all over
the place. They are constantly moving. And that happens quite a bit. So, anyway, going back to El Chupacabra. We have more attacks in Chile, and then things kind of stop.
Okay.
They wear down to where we just don't really hear of anything for essentially quite a long time until... apparently 2010, where things have started to pick up recently.
Well, I saw in Chile, granted it's not a huge amount of time after, this was 1997, 98 that it stopped. I did see in Chile in the year 2000.
Okay, so a brief break.
Yeah, a brief break, and there was, that was an interesting one, because it killed like, oh, I want to say a total of like 45 to 50 animals, and it was hunting in a pack, from what they saw. There were three of them.
They've been breeding.
Yeah. And somebody, the farmer actually shot the animal, and he didn't even think anything more about it, just let the skeleton lay there for a few days or weeks. And then he reported it, and like news crews came and stuff like that. The weird thing is there's a photo of him with the animal that he shot. There's a photo of the animal in a hospital, like kind of took it into the morgue of a hospital and like we're doing an autopsy and stuff and trying to figure out. These two skeletons are different. Like, and the the guy, the farmer, like when news started making the round and those, the photos of them doing the morgue work and autopsy work got out, he was like, that's not, that's not what I killed. That's not what I saw. Like, one of the things he said is that I kept one of the bones of the animal that I killed, and in that picture, that's a complete skeleton. So, like,
that can't be right. That can't be right.
Which is very interesting. But that's the other, one. The other big one, and then more recently, we found some stuff about Argentina, especially.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing that holds the Chupacabra back is the widely different descriptions of the creature from witnesses.
Yes.
And I have been focusing, again, a lot of the Puerto Rican description, where we have a creature that has little to no hair.
Yep.
Large eyes, large hind legs, that similar to a kangaroo, but no tail.
Yeah.
One of the major things as well for that is that it has three toes.
Okay.
And three fingers on its hands. So that's the description that I've been running off of. There are some variations of it too, stating that, again, like it had bat-like wings, and from the fact that we don't really find a whole ton of footprints whatsoever, that could kind of help sum that up too.
Yeah,
that maybe it's jumping and gliding in a lot of ways. That, and I've also seen things where it just has a straight up large head with super large eyes. Which makes sense for a nocturnal creature.
Yeah. Oh,
nocturnal creatures having large eyes makes a ton of sense. Especially, like, it made me first think of, like, some nocturnal lemurs.
Yeah.
They have extremely large eyes. And
Zabumafu.
He, dude, it's too soon. Too soon. Anyway, so a lot of large lemurs, especially nocturnal ones, do have orangish to yellowy red irises, which have been a common description for it as well, having giant red eyes or giant orange eyes, something along those lines. Another description that we've also seen is that it had the head of a crocodile. So instead of having a flatter, just kind of larger head that we would assume would be more similar to that of like a vampire bat,
mm-hmm.
where it's kind of but stubbied face,
a snout,
but something more with a snout. So I think that's what's kind of the craziest thing about it. And I think what, again, any kind of mutilation from here on out with livestock or small animals, we're instantly going to associate with the chupacabra.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's throwing
no
it off.
There's no getting around with it.
Absolutely
around
not.
It at this point.
And there are, so that's kind of where most of the mutilations
mm-hmm.
kind of happen. And I kind of want to talk more about the speculations
okay.
of what this creature is.
Yeah, totally.
Because we've talked about, we've talked about the wounds that it does.
Yep.
We've talked about,
descriptions of it and
weird autopsies that we've found.
Yeah.
And we've talked about the possibility of it having some sort of psychic powers.
Supernatural.
So,
just throw that
yeah.
paranormal
so,
stuff
yeah.
in
there. Fringe. We're fringe
we just try to
topics.
Weave it in.
That's what we talk about here. So a few things that I have found
yeah.
is that there is quite a few people that think it's the pet that got lost from a UFO.
Oh, okay.
Because in Puerto Rico, in February mm-hmm. of 1995, there were UFO sightings. Fun stuff.
Which
mutilations started happening in March.
Yeah, which I mean, you know me, man.
you like them UFOs, buddy.
I really think that,
but
like...
who would keep that as a pet?
Well, it may not be a pet. It may be a pilot, you know, if it has the ability to telepathically communicate and this
yeah,
and that.
Fair enough.
When you look at it through a UFO lens, you do have very similar things. So cattle mutilations are one thing that, like, harkens to this.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Cattle mutilations, you find different parts of it removed. You find just strange wounds, this and mm-hmm. that. It's entirely possible that whatever entity is performing cattle mutilations, especially in the Americas or in America, could be performing other, you know, goat mutilation
mm-hmm.
or chicken mutilation. The other thing that for me has always been weird about the chupacabra is that it comes out of nowhere. Like, it literally
yeah,
comes
it's just,
out
it's
of
just,
nowhere.
Boom. 95, things are happening.
Yeah, one day it exists, and previous to that, there's some weird accounts, but there's no other real evidence that it ever existed before March of 1995. And so for me, I mean, UFO sightings, especially with them happening just the month before, that's a pretty good piece of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, forgetting everything else, because from here, I mean, it went from this from Puerto Rico, and now it's everywhere. I mean, it's been reported
yeah.
in China. It's been
oh, yeah.
reported in Australia.
Russia's a big one.
But at the very core of it, like, it was there. It wasn't there one day, and it was there the next.
Right. It just happened. I mean,
yeah.
It happened pretty much globally.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is again, I don't know what did this. It
right.
had to be the chupacabra.
Right, right.
And
but just in general, I mean, for this to
it's
be something brand
crazy.
New out of nowhere. So that's my take. I say UFO sightings is a very good explanation.
All right, so UFO is a possible one.
Yep.
Another big one is the fact that people think it's just a U.S. experiment gone wrong.
Right, well, like we
escapes.
Were saying, Puerto Rico
yeah.
is a... U.S. territory.
Bingo. So if we were doing something crazy in the forest, I mean, it's possible. There are a lot of aspects about the chupacabra that lean towards kind of like a genetic splicing of animals.
Mm-hmm.
We have the diet of a vampire bat.
Yeah.
We have the body, at least the back end of it,
mm-hmm.
very similar to that of a
kangaroo.
We have some sort of sucking ability
mm-hmm.
and large, again, lemur-like eyes. That is just kind of the hodgepodge
mm-hmm.
of throwing random animal assortment body parts together. In quills, spikes
yep.
along the back, it's really, really, really odd.
Yeah.
So there is some talk that it was a government experiment
okay.
gone missing, which kind of coincides because there are a couple witness supports, and it's tough when no one gives their name.
Right,
but
right. To be working only on
yeah,
anonymous
there,
sources.
There's several... sightings that that U.S. officials had,
quote unquote,
caught something in Chile and were going back home with it.
Yeah.
And then after that, most of the killings kind of died down.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, that's creepy.
Well,
that's a bit weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
I can dig it.
A couple other things is that South America was home to a very, very, very large bat back in the day.
Nice.
Which you brought up more information about a Mayan god, was it?
Yeah. So
yeah,
what
did you find there?
One thing that I found, this is some fringy stuff, but the chupacabra potentially has been around for like a very long time. If we take this into account, the Mayans had a god that they called Camazotz, which was a creature that was very much like a bat, except that it did have two arms. It didn't just have its wings. In addition to the wings, it had two arms, and it was believed to be vampiric. And there were actually references in Mayan literature as far back as 1400 BC to Camazotz sucking the blood of goats. So,
could this be one of those creatures?
Yeah. A giant vampire bat or an extinct creature or something like that.
Because we did have...
Oh, the other thing,
bats that went extinct that were so large that they could not fly.
Yeah, that's true. But the other thing about Camazotz is that he actually had... His nose was supposedly knife-shaped, which harkens to some sort of a proboscis used to... suck blood and organs.
That's
so
interesting.
Yeah, that's another weird thing about him. He's a cool little dude.
Gotcha. Another thing that I thought might have been kind of in line with that kind of deity thing is that maybe it is cult or satanic ritual of some sort. Because again, I mean, I don't believe that livestock would probably put up too much of a fuss if they saw a human walking around them.
Right.
They're used to it. So I don't expect them to go haywire compared to, like, say, again, if a large dog or a coyote or something like that got into the pens. That would probably cause at least a bit more of a scare for them. That being said, though, Puerto Rico is, and a lot of South America, does have a very high population of wild dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Just domesticated dogs that have kind of gone rampant.
Mm-hmm.
Always spayed and neuter.
They've gone free. They've thrown off their shackles of oppression.
Exactly.
And become free dogs.
Yeah, so, I mean, and the fact that, again, livestock are the ones that are being killed, it, as a ritual or a sacrifice kind of thing, that makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
They have kind of been, besides for human sacrifice... the thing that you sacrifice when you want to please a god.
Goats and chickens.
Chickens, cattle.
Yep.
Yes, they are all especially known to be offered as sacrifice.
Yeah, so, I wasn't able, and personally, just me, I probably did like 1/10 of the research you did this week, but I just wasn't able to find any like real... I mean, that's a theory.
Yeah,
it's a theory. This cult is known to have been operating, or this group of people. So.
I haven't found anything solid on it, but it's just kind of one theory that I've thought of, which would explain a couple different things that were occurring.
Yeah, totally.
And then there is one crypto zoologist researcher that believes they're gargoyles.
The one man. I dig it.
One dude. And... I mean, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool idea.
Oh, yeah. We'll be doing...
I just feel like we'd see a lot more of this widespread cattle mutilation.
Yeah.
In livestock mutilation farther back in time.
Yeah, well, actually, we'll be doing an episode on...
We're going to do gargoyles.
There's one specific gargoyle that we're going to do an episode on probably in the next few months. But
is it... what's his name? Goliath?
No, it's not Goliath.
Darn it!
This is a real gargoyle.
Whoa. Whoa.
Okay.
I don't know if it's, again, 10-year-old Jason inside putting up a fuss, but don't push down Goliath. He was the bomb.
All right. I can dig it.
So that's been kind of what I would assume have been the biggest leads of what the chupacabra might be. That and now that you've stated that there are more mutilations going on in Argentina now.
Yeah,
from 2010 makes me think that, and again, this is just me kind of connecting weird little dots. Maybe it is a creature that lies dormant for a long time and right. only comes out to feed for a set period of time.
It has a hibernation of, you know,
yeah, of, you
decades
know, a decade
or
and a half
centuries.
Or so.
Yeah,
which I mean, kind of makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah,
especially for the amount of gorging it's mm-hmm. possibly doing.
Well, and that's the other thing you got to remember. If we're just looking at like one animal, okay, not a group, not
right,
a
right,
tribe,
just one or two creatures
for it to attack. Sometimes, like the account of in 2000 in Chile, this thing's draining like up to five goats and sheep a night. That's a lot.
That's a lot
of blood.
Yeah, that's a ton. Which leads you to, population.
Yeah.
It leads you to think to more of a population of that creature instead of just being one.
The one-off, yeah. At the end of the day, like, what do you think it is? Those are all the theories,
yeah,
but what's your opinion?
I think... that it is some creature that we have not yet documented.
Okay.
I truly believe that... It is something that has not truly been discovered by science yet.
All right. I can
dig it. Because there's enough evidence for me to say, okay, these are really weird coincidences to keep mm-hmm. occurring, and they don't match anything that we currently know. So it's either a very, very well-done prank.
Right.
Which is twisted.
Yeah, to say the absolute least. It's really messed up.
Or something that we don't quite know.
Yeah.
Could it be a UFO traveler alien? Possibly, but I definitely think that it is something that science does not quite fully understand yet.
Yeah.
That are causing most of the mutilations.
All right.
At least most.
I can dig it.
What do you got,
well,
Sam? What do you feel?
So,
tell me, do you still believe...
I believe that every single thing that has happened in America is a mangy dog.
Oh, yeah, 110%.
Like,
it's a coyote dog
yeah.
hybrid or a coyote something.
But the other situations down in Puerto Rico, down in Chile, and now in Argentina, it's hard for me to say it's just a normal, undiscovered creature because there was a day where it didn't exist and then a day where it did. Like, you don't have these weird... Even then, like, for instance, take the Jersey Devil.
Yeah.
If we think about the Jersey Devil, it's been reported by settlers, by, you know, white people since the late 1760s, mid 1700s. But even before that, you have the indigenous tribes referring to the Pine Barrens as like the place of the dragon and stuff like that.
Right.
So you have like evidence of it throughout history. If we're going to say that was... just an undiscovered creature. With this one, we've gone through, what, like 10,000 years of human history, and then one day in 1995 it shows up.
Things just start happening. Besides for, you know, your Mayan god that you found.
Right, right. It's compelling,
it's interesting.
But I don't know if I'd say that it is that thing, because the chupacabra itself... Like, there are reports of it swooping and flying and stuff like that, but it's not necessarily described as a bat that often.
No.
I think that we make the association with a bat because of the drinking of blood.
Right.
But I don't know if any of the physical descriptions match that. I'm going to say,
uh-oh,
most likely,
uh-oh,
it's going to be one of two things. The rational thing is some kind of foreign invasive species. Now, while all of the giant bats, the Malayan flying fox and stuff, they're all herbivores. Technically, they all eat fruit.
Yeah.
If there's one out there that got a little bit of taste from blood or whatever, and it was, I mean, kind of just like with Gavudon, you know, the theory is that somebody took this massive wolf or in this case, this massive flying fox, brought it over, and then boom, it gets loose and it causes panic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be the more logical theory. You still have to make some big leaps there, because
the biggest issue that I have with bats
mm-hmm.
is, for one, a lot of descriptions, no ears.
Right.
Which is tough. Also, bats don't particularly have very developed hind legs.
Right, yeah.
Like
I said, you got to stretch.
Yeah, there's some stretching. Absolutely. That, and as far as larger creatures go, feeding on blood is exceptionally...
It's terribly inefficient.
Yeah. It's just really, really tough to do. And also, again, the vampire bat has specialized organs to absorb the blood that it's feeding on quicker.
Yeah.
So that it can actually sustain flight again. But it still does have to gorge a lot.
Yeah. And then my other theory...
Ooh.
Is aliens. I'm just going to say...
Of course. I mean, aliens. It's always aliens.
It sounds silly, but to me... The logical thing to assume here is if there are UFOs and then there's some unknown creature, a month later, the unknown creature
is probably connected
with the unidentified flying object. So that's what I'm going to call it for at least the Puerto Rican cases. From there, I mean, who knows? Mm-hmm. And it's entirely possible that anything, like I will go out and say that most likely anything that does not have an actual sighting, anything where you're just seeing a dead goat or seeing this or that is not the chupacabra because there's so many things.
Because again, I mean, if we have large populations of dead creatures, that's one thing. But again, I think, and I strongly feel this way is that any kind of dead livestock that turns up that is slightly a weird death. Instantaneous association with the chupacabra, which is, I don't think, very fair if there is a real creature. It's if there is something that goes bump in the night. I don't think that's very fair for it. And I just, yeah, and that's the world we live in right now is just the ease of access of media. And it's fun to theorize. And I think that's the thing with the chupacabra is it's a fun topic of discussion. It is some very weird things that did happen, but I think in a lot of ways it has kind of spiraled out of control.
Yeah.
In some cases. Most cases.
I can dig it.
Sam, what do you think? Did I do okay this time?
Oh, yeah, I think you did great. I think this was a good first ever Jason special.
Ooh.
And I'm sure we'll have...
Hot and fresh out the kitchen.
No, that's not your tagline. No? Okay.
Darn.
We'll find you a tagline, but it's not hot, fresh out of the kitchen. I think that was a great episode. I think you did a good job. And if you have anything else that you really want to research that I think is dumb, then let me know.
And perfect. We'll talk about it.
And you did. I mean, you provided me with enough to say, okay, maybe I am being a little too closed-minded when I just say it's a dog all the time.
See,
so,
the thing was, I just had to bring in UFOs.
That's true.
And that's how I got
that's
you.
All
that's
anyone
how I
has
got
to
you,
do
man.
To make me happy.
But we also have some special shout outs.
Yeah,
on
we
this
do.
Episode as well, correct?
So
why don't you hit us up with those?
I bribed you people, and I told you it's a terrible bribe. That if you would go on to the iTunes store and rate us and leave us a review, that I would go through and I'd actually read the reviews out. So I am more than happy to keep my word on that. We got two new reviews this week, which is amazing. I mean, we've been doing this for how long now? Like 2 months, and we're only
like since the dawn of time. I'm kidding.
It does seem like we've been doing this a long time already. But yeah, we've been doing this for 2 months. We're up to 3 reviews in total, and all of them are from the last few weeks. So like, thank you all so much. The two that we're gonna read today. One is actually from one of our partners in the Ace Podcast Network, and his show is, I think his name is David Allen. His show is Confession Radio, which really quick, before I read his review, I'm just going to do a little plug for it.
What is that about?
It's great. Like, it's seriously so good. The cool thing about it is it's just, the format of it is very, like, digestible. You can listen to, I think every episode's, like, anywhere between, sometimes they're, like, 10 minutes, sometimes they're 20 minutes, but they're all super, I mean, and a lot of times they're even less than that. They're all super easy to listen to, and basically what it is it's just people who either call in or write in or give some kind of confession, and then David just goes through and is like, this is how you deal with that. This is how you go with this. So it's a great place for like life advice.
Whoa, very supportive.
Super supportive. Some of them are like kind of funny.
I wonder if he get my life back in order.
You know, we could reach out. We could see. Maybe he could heal you. Some of them are kind of funnier, but other things are like really serious and really life-changing stuff. So that's going to be also our plug for podcasting on the Ace Podcast Network this week. I'd recommend, if you're looking for any new show, go check out David Allen's Confession Radio. But back to his review, he kept it short and sweet, and he just said that it's fantastic. He loves listening to the show, and it has great production and awesome flow, which we really appreciate that. And then we have another one as well that I'm really excited about because I don't know this person, as far as I know. I may know this person. But as far as I'm aware, I don't know this person in real life. They're not part of the network. And even if they are, like, and even if I do, that doesn't make it any less special. Like, I still super appreciate this. But this one's from Xeno Geek. They said, love the show. Don't wait to give it a listen. And then they wrote this big long thing that I'm going to read to you. He says, they say, Sam and Jason have great interplay. I love the lighthearted relationship between them as they delve into topics that can be unsettling and spooky. It's clear they do a significant amount of research, and I love that they provide a lot of additional resources if I have more questions and want to research on my own. Their deep knowledge of this genre has helped me to find other shows that I also enjoy through their recommendations. I look forward to learning more about classic stories from each episode and almost always learn something I didn't know before. I enjoy the theme music too and appreciate the subtle way audio is added during the show. More than once, it has made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. Keep up the great work, guys. So,
Oh, thank you.
That's so nice. Like, that's so ridiculously nice. So, like, if you are Xeno Geek, thank you. And if you're not Xeno Geek, thank you. We are still just, I mean, our numbers are getting bigger and bigger. We're getting way better, like, or not better, but just a lot more engagement through our social media and our profiles and stuff like that. So, I mean, just keep it up. You guys are doing an amazing job of supporting us, supporting the show, making us feel like we're not just
two dudes sitting in a room,
two dudes talking to no one.
Microphones.
Are these even plugged in?
Gosh, I hope so.
So just thank you so much for all of your support. Like normal, you know, if you want to reach out to us, either tell us your own spooky story or give us any leads to what we should talk about next or give us any feedback whatsoever, please feel free to do so. Our email address is notalonepodcast@gmail.com. Our website is notalonepodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/notalonepod. You can find us on Instagram at instagram.com/notalonepodcast. And then on Twitter, which I don't use, but I'm trying to get more into it, at twitter.com/notalonepod. So
we should just like tweet some of our text messages to each other.
We could do that.
Just like
maybe I'll do that on the Instagram page.
Like, hey,
yeah.
Jason sounded like an idiot researching this today.
I think you did a really good job, man. I'm really proud of you. You did a great job with your research.
Look at that. I did some things.
You did a lot of things. I'm proud of you. oh, yeah. Just one more reminder. This is our last show for 2 weeks.
Oh, we're taking a 2-week break?
No, we're taking a one-week break, but it's going to culminate in 2 weeks because we've got this show coming out on Friday.
Right.
Next Friday, there's not going to be a show.
Correct.
And then the Friday after that, there will be a show. So it's a 2-week break.
So, all right. It's fair enough.
Yeah, math.
Sort of.
so, yeah, just stay tuned. You know, catch up on the back catalog, and we will be back to you shortly.
Have we decided what we're doing next?
Kind of. Maybe I'll do, like, a little 5-minute blurb and release it next Friday while I'm on vacation.
Ooh, a tease.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that a little more off the air. But, yeah, cool. I think that's it. Well, Jason,
Wonderful. It
was your special.
Ooh.
Do you want to do the outro? Do you got anything prepared?
Let's see here. I don't. You never have anything prepared.
No, I always just wing
it. So here we go.
Okay.
So let's see here. Whether you're...
No. You have to say remember.
Oh, my bad.
You're okay.
Here we go. Remember, whether you're a chicken raiser person out in the I don't know anywhere.
This is terrible.
This is this. Let's rewind this. Let's okay. do this again. Okay.
I'll edit that out.
Perfect.
I can do it if you want
to. No. I got it.
Okay. A chicken razor person, by the way, is just a chicken, chicken farmer. <rancher. laughs> Or a chicken rancher. I don't
yes.
think so.
What are you doing? That's so gross.
I'm making
Stop
sound
it.
Effects.
Wonderful.
That's my beard that going up against the pop filter.
You can stop that now.
All right.
Okay. Remember, whether you're a goat rancher in the tropical island of Puerto Rico or a Texas chicken rancher, remember, you are...
I'm not saying
not
it.
A little.
No.
Fine, you do it,
okay,
Sam.
I'm going to do
you
it.
You do it.
I'm going to do it. All right. Remember, whether you're a young school child and your pet llama has just been killed, or you're staring at your family's shed only to see something unexplainable come out of it and beckon you forth, we are not alone.